Welcome, everyone. This is Kennedy Hawk from the Marvel Champions Monthly fan podcast crew. Today, we have a special episode for our listeners. If you've listened to our podcast in the past or watched any of my videos, I often reference the Never Sleeping, Always Knowledgeable Rules channel that's on all of the Marvel Champions discords. The community members in this channel are always there for me, whether in the middle of a video or in the middle of a game, trying to figure out some rules conundrum that I've fallen into. They're always there to help me figure out the right answer. A trio of these community members who often hang out in these channels wanted to provide some awesome insight informing the community of recent rulings and debating tricky topics. They've recorded an intro episode for everyone and tackled a tricky topic all about you, the listener. We'll be hosting this team as they teach you to read the cards and the RRG and recent rulings, because rules for this game are kind of all over the place. Sometimes their recordings will be standalone episodes like this one, and sometimes they'll be segments in the normal Marvel Champions Monthly bi-weekly content. Say hello to your new hosts for The Card Text.
Welcome to The Card Text, an unofficial mini-podcast about Marvel Champions at the LCG. We cover rules discussions regarding gameplay and aim to help fans of the game better understand the inner workings of their favorite Marvel card game. In this episode, we discuss the developer responses regarding the possible changes to the U entry for Marvel Champions, the difficulty with the initial version of U, how it might evolve, and how players might handle interpreting it. But first, introductions.
Okay, I'll go first. I will just give my Discord tag, I guess. I'm Apotropaic, and I've been playing LCGs for not very long, like maybe 2 years or so. Before that, I only played regular games like worker placement games, Seven Wonders, etc. My first, very first LCG was Arkham Horror. I still don't really know confidently the rules for Arkham Horror to this day, but that's me.
I'll go. So I'm Theoral. I've been playing these kind of customizable card games since the Star Wars customizable card game came out, which was just after Magic was released back in 1995, I guess, 1996. I got the two-player box for Christmas 1 year and started picking that up. I played the Decipher Lord of the Rings card game, which was a competitive Lord of the Rings game. And then the Star Wars LCG that Fantasy Flight did however many years ago. I guess I started that after it had been out for about a cycle. I've played a little bit of the Lord of the Rings LCG. My brother has it, so I've played with him a few times. And then got into Marvel Champions when it came out. I play a lot of other board games too, role-playing games, kind of all the things that one can do in the gaming hobby.
And Scott?
Hi, I'm Scott. I've been gaming about as long as I can remember, really. Got into Magic the Gathering in the 90s, various board games at the time as well, and then sort of stopped analog gaming for computer games. Played stuff like Battlefield, lots of first person games. Then got back into board gaming about 8 years ago. First LCG that I got into seriously was also Arkham. I dabbled a little bit with Legend of the Five Rings, but I play pretty much any type of board game and card game and role-playing and everything, really.
All right, awesome. And do you want to talk about your channel? I think you have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I could do. I run Scott Plays. It's a very not very regular channel. I put stuff out as and when I feel like it, talking about sort of games I've been playing and what I think of them.
And as far as content, the only other content I've done for Marvel is a YouTube channel, Bob Benton. I don't do content very often. I also did a step sheet on Excel that people can access through the Marvel Champions Discord. And I don't think, Theo, do you don't have any other content, do you, that you want to talk about?
I don't. I have. This will be my first content production of any kind.
So I have to cut in here and mention the rulings that we'll be covering. Technically, they aren't rulings. They are just responses, but we will be referring to them as rulings. The latest of the U rulings, along with bits and pieces of what we have so far. The U, the current form of U, is in Marvel Champions, can be found on the PDF online. I'll have Scott read it here.
So, while interpreting card text, if the word U can be interpreted as referring to the player, it should be interpreted as such. If a specific character is required to interpret an ability using the word U, the identity card is the character that must be used. Yeah, it uses interpret or interpreted in both of them. And whenever you're being asked to interpret something, different people are going to have different interpretations.
So that is the current version of U as it exists now on the PDF. The bits and pieces of the new version of U, quote, if an effect refers to you, ask yourself, can this use of the word you be interpreted to mean my identity? If the answer is yes, then it can only be applied to your identity, i.e., Hall of Heroes only resolves after your hero defeats an enemy. Your identity does not control anything in the game. You, as a player, control the cards in your play area. Spycraft would be an instance where the ability cannot refer to the identity and therefore applies to you as the player. The vast majority of event cards you play represent your identity taking actions, such as thwarting and attacking. So if you play an event that defeats an enemy, that counts as your identity defeating that enemy. The exceptions to this would be events that cause your allies or some other character to defeat the enemy. Upgrades are things your hero wears and wields. So when you use an upgrade to defeat a minion, that counts as your hero, or you, defeating that minion.
Yeah, that one is probably the most interesting. It's sort of the picture of where they're going with you seems to be getting a little bit clearer, sort of one ruling at a time at the moment. And yeah, it looks like it's heading in the right kind of direction. I'm still a bit unclear about a couple of things, but hopefully they will get cleared up.
I think that it's very thematically ruled, as opposed to kind of harder ruling where you can pick out some words, you can be like, oh, this definitely clearly applies. But it's gonna be, I think, challenging in that sense, because we're always gonna have we'll find ourselves asking the question, is this really the hero or not? When those kinds of questions come up, it'll be harder to answer.
Yeah, the interpretation part of this. I mean, if the actual ruling that they come up with and put in the PDF for the rules guide isn't as specific as it should be, then there will be a little bit of interpretation, I guess. Is that what you mean?
Like, if you have an event action that is somehow about someone else attacking, right? Like if you had a tack team type event, right, that was action, deal 3 damage to an enemy, then you kind of find yourself asking, well, so hero doing this or not? Will they make that distinction? Will it be, oh, if it's a hero action, then it's your identity doing it? But then, you know, there'll be things where it's supposed to be the identity. I think it'll just, there's the potential for some confusion there, some lack of clarity.
So if it's just the action trigger by itself and it didn't say hero?
Like, for example, in the ruling that he sent me for the one I asked about a whole bunch of different things, one of the ones was advanced Ultron drones, right? You get the advanced Ultron drones upgrade. It makes all the drones have one extra hit point. You damage a drone with one, you know, you do one damage to a drone and then you remove that upgrade. You defeated a drone. Was it your hero or not? And he says it's your hero because it's a hero action. What if there's an upgrade that gives a hit point and you remove it as an action? Your hero remove that upgrade or not? You know, was it identity doing that or was it something else? Is it going to be thematically dependent?
Yeah, I think that's the case of sometimes where we have to kind of figure out what he means when we get an email, because an email response, because sometimes what he says can be kind of, I guess, quickly shot off as an answer, right?
Yeah, I think a good example that already exists in the game is first aid. Action, heal 2 damage from any character. So is that your hero healing another character, or even themselves, or is it some other entity that is doing the healing? And obviously you doesn't come into that.
Because we don't have any cards that interact with it. But if we did, if we had a card that said, when you heal character, be your identity or whatever, would it work with first aid or not? Not entirely clear. It's just, it's a little detached from the rules. And so it's, I think it's going to continue. Personally, I think it's going to continue to be a little bit unclear. We'll have some definitive ones where we know the answer. And then we'll have some ones where like, yeah, they'll release a card and we'll say, how does that work with you ruling? I'm kind of glad we have the lead time that we do on this ruling so that we can get a lot of the things hammered out before it comes. I do think, like with the last you ruling, when they put that out there, and it was a complete switch of what they had been saying up to that point, and it was just kind of like, people are asking questions about this, like, whoa, no. I don't know how it works yet. We've sent in some questions, haven't gotten responses yet, so we don't know. You know, this time at least it's going to be kind of like, yeah, okay, we know these many cases because we've already asked about them and covered up what we were missing. I will say that is one thing I'm grateful for that's, you know, that's entirely a change, or it's just maybe because this RRG is being delayed so much, is that Caleb is very open to talking about potential changes to the rulings or kind of where they're headed. On the one hand, it's a little bit kind of like, okay, but what does that mean? But on the other hand, it's kind of nice. But I hope that that is a thing that will continue, that he can continue.
Yeah, I feel the same way. So Scott, how do you feel about the future of you? Do you think it's always going to be something that's going to be in question as well? Or do you think it'll get better at some point and you won't have to worry about it?
It's difficult to know. I think it's definitely going to get better. These types of interactions with specific wording in abilities, they tend not to get completely solved. So I think it will keep coming back. But over time, I think the community as a whole will get a better understanding of what the design intent is, and we will get better at answering questions. But yeah, it's probably always going to be an issue, and I can't see them going down the route of getting rid of you altogether, because I think it's too tied into the feel that they want for the game.
That I definitely agree with too. I think that it's part of the whole, the way I've thought of it is kind of that contrast to Legendary, the game where a lot of people have complained that you don't feel like you're playing a hero because it's a whole team of heroes and it feels like, you know, out there. And this is kind of the opposite extreme where they really want it to be you are the hero. They really push that. That's going to be, that terminology is very important to them in that thematic sense.
Given that we don't have an official ruling, how do we guide people and help them figure out when you is the hero and when it is not?
In my mind, there's two ways that a current player can do it. They can try and what is the word? Preempt the ruling. kind of be like, okay, I know that this is the direction the game's going. And I would say to really try and take the thematic view of it is just kind of say, if it seems like it's your hero, then that's probably where they're going. If it seems like it's some other entity doing the damage, or, you know, doing the effect, then it's probably not your identity. That works as a good rule of thumb. And then if you can't tell, well, you'll have to, you know, have to make a decision, or you can have other people's opinions about it. Or you can just play with the ruling as it is and not worry about what's coming.
Scott, do you have a suggestion for how people best can figure it out?
It's tricky because we have a set of rules that works most of the time. And my tendency is to explain what that set of rules is. And to then also say, but we have had these newer rulings that are modifying that rule set in the following ways. We're in a position at the moment where we don't know what the new ruling is going to be. We've got indicators and things that suggest the direction they're moving in, but until we actually get RRG 1.4 or whatever it's going to be, we can't say what the correct interpretation is. I think it depends on what the person asking the question is wanting to know. Are they wanting to know what is a set of rules that I can play by that are correct in inverted commas, or are they wanting to know what direction is the rule set moving in? And I think you have to handle each situation differently.
Yeah, my solution is just to play with the previous rule set, because as you said, we don't know what the final rule is actually going to be. So it's easier just to fall back on the old one, because we know more or less how that works, even though it does kind of give allies a little bit of boost that they otherwise don't need.
I will say I have been personally playing with the new rule set. I don't think it's going to be as big of a change as people are concerned that it will be. There's kind of just some aggression cards that normally you use to ping minions that specifically are against minions, like Valkyrie. It does a little bit, if you get Hall of Fears out, you're kind of like, oh, I want to use Valkyrie to kill this minion. I want to kill it myself. Which, you know, I just mean you don't play those cards together as much. Maybe once Holt comes out, you have more aggression allies to choose from. You can be a little pickier. In its current state, is a little bit. There's a few cards that just kind of, you get a little bit of a feel bad moment.
Do you think that's like anytime we're going to get any rules corrections, going to just downgrade some aspect of gameplay?
Possibly. I think from a section of the community, I think FFG are getting the message that the game is too easy, and their FFG are possibly looking at the actual rules as they're written more closely and trying to understand why the community or parts of the community are finding the game easier than they possibly intended it to be. And so are not necessarily changing rules, but re-clarifying rules to actually nerf certain combinations to make it more difficult and to get it closer to what their intent was for the game. So yeah, I think we will see. I don't know. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything else that stands out as being something that makes a part of the game particularly good that they could nerf. But there may well be other things that come up in the future that they turn around and say, actually, you're using that in a way that we didn't intend it to, and that is why you're finding it easier. Here's a new way to look at that part of the game.
I think the thing that jumps out at me is allies, right?
Well, the allies have been nerfed a bit with the U changes anyway. Defeating minions or villains no longer apply to allies. So that has reduced the strength of allies to a certain extent.
It's kind of interesting because it nerfs them in terms of their interactions with your other hero cards. It strengthens them a little bit in regards to the villain cards. Like his name, Baron Zemo, right? That you can now thwart around him because allies aren't you.
Yeah, that's true.
I was actually going to ask about that. Yeah, Baron Zemo. So you think that's going to be, he's going to be able to be thwarted around with allies?
I do. I think that's going to work because of the you cannot thwart is only going to apply to your identity.
Okay. And just to be clear, this is just us theorizing. This is not like an official ruling or anything.
I mean, ultimately, I feel like the sense in which the villain interactions tend to be a little bit more minor, the player interactions tend to be a little bit heavier, because right? You can plan for those ones, whereas the villain interactions, they just happen if they happen. But I think overall, it's probably still a nerf on the allies. It's funny, because I think when we initially asked the questions about you back when it was in the RRG, a lot of the focus was on the villain interactions, and then now we've talked about all the hero cards and suddenly it switched. So,
yeah, it started with a lot of the references to you on encounter cards. And then from there, it creeped over into player cards.
It at least has been consistent in effect. The one consistent is that damage is always against an identity. So that's been able to give some continuity to this whole thing.
The character identity is what interacts with damage. And the player, I guess, doesn't they just like dole it out, assign it, but they don't actually take the damage.
That's right. I do think that the game is worded in such a way that the identity is the one that exhausts. The character exhausts. You as a player exhaust the character. But I think the places where it gets tricky is really the ones where it's both, right? Where the word you just really legitimately could apply to either the player or the identity, because the rules are worded in such a way that they both work. I think the defense example is always the best one of this, because they say that, you know, you defend by exhausting your, or the player defends by exhausting their hero. And then like two sentences later, if the hero defends, it's just kind of like, They really use both terms. The player defends and the hero defends at the same time. The word defends is not clarifying. It doesn't help. Because it really legitimately applies to both. I mean, if you go to the Nintendo example, it's like beating a level. You beat the level or did Mario beat the level?
So it's more existential.
Right. Well, you both did, right? Mario beat it because he's the one that actually did the level, but you beat it because you were the one playing the game.
There's those people that really want it to be very clear-cut, and I guess it's just not going to happen.
We're not there yet. I think this is maybe a early in the life of an LCG kind of problem, where, you know, after the game's been out for a couple of years, they will have used a lot of the wordings they're going to use in the future. And so the rules questions will become a lot tighter, and there'll just be people that know the rules, able to answer any rules question about any card because they've seen that language before, even if it's a new card.
Yeah, there were issues in the early days of Arkham LCG as well. Not as many or quite as confusing. There were certainly things that just get repeatedly coming up, and until people got clarification and then got a better understanding of how it actually works.
I do think that, you know, in a couple of years that there's just going to be a lot of the questions are going to be answered. Just be kind of like, yeah, we know how things work. There's a fair bit of people felt like because Lord of the Rings has been around for a while and, you know, not to mention the competitive ones, Netrunner, and all of the various LCJs they've gone through, that it felt like they should be able to start off on the right foot because they've had enough experience doing this. But I think that maybe that experience and that clarity of rules doesn't transfer as well as one might hope. Either because Caleb and Boggs weren't the kind of the lead developers on these other properties, and so maybe they weren't as involved in that clarification process, or, you know, just it's a new game. It's got a different set of things that happen during the course of the game, a different feel they're going for. You know, in Lord of the Rings, you had three heroes. In this game, you are the hero. Even those changes, they change the way that that the language comes across in the game, and that makes it so that really all those rules questions that have been answered for 5 years, 10 years in Lord of the Rings, they all need to be asked again because it's a new game, it's a new rule set, and it just doesn't carry over the way that you might want.
Yeah, even compared to Arkham, which is a lot closer to Marvel, there are significant differences. I mean, even something like Alloys, which both games have, Marvel Champions Alloys work very differently to Arkham Horror Alloys. In Arkham Horror, they're more like an aspect of the Investigator, whereas in Marvel Champions, they are almost like independent entities in their own right.
We said we would close out with some kind of listener question. We could just do a player question. Got one, and it's relevant to recently released hero. I'm just going to read it. Can I change a status card to another status card that the villain already has with Vapors of Vel'Tor? Vapors of Vel'Tor is an invocation special. Choose a status card in play. Replace that status card with a different status card. Place this card in the invocation deck discard pile.
Short answer, no. Any character can only ever have one of each status. So if a villain has, say, tough and stunned, you couldn't use Vapors of Vel'Tor to turn the tough into another stun. You could turn it into a confused, or you could turn the stunned into a confused. But yeah, you can never have more than one of the same status on any character.
Right, so the card just wouldn't have an effect in that case.
Yeah.
All right, listeners, thank you. And we hope that was informative and got you really thinking about who you really are when you play Marvel Champions. Thanks to Kennedy Hawk and everyone at Marvel Champions Monthly for graciously hosting us. Tune in for our next episode next month on the latest rulings, news, and rules conundrums. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at thecardtextpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks to my distinguished colleagues, Theo Rell and Scott, for joining. And remember, when you would rather not read the rules reference, listen to the card text instead.